We're going to the hookie-la. Hookie, 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 hookie-la.
Oh, we're going to the Harmontown. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Meltdown. In Hollywood, California, Harmontown is in session. Won't you welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Yeah. All right. Happy St. Patrick's Day aftermath, right? You're a little hungover, Jeff?
I got pretty drunk last night.
Yeah?
I spent the entire day on the couch overeating and watching David Attenborough animal documentaries.
Aaron and I, coincidentally, have been watching a lot of the John Hurt, Human Planet? It's the one that John Hurt narrates, I think. In the beginning of the title sequence, he goes, "There's only one animal that makes total use of the whole planet and does whatever it wants," or something like that. That's not really. It's better written than that. But I always, at the end of it, I compulsively have to go, "Me, John Hurt." Just thought I'd share that with you. It's interesting. I thought I knew mostly everything about. Like why I should be proud of people and being one of them, like because usually you're being told by the television to be ashamed of being human, you know, and there's a lot of reasons to be ashamed if you want to dwell on that. For instance, we rape people, we murder each other, we're destroying the whole thing, whatever. We're doing all kinds of terrible things to ourselves and each other. I always find it ironic and heroic to try to focus on like, yeah, but kind of a cool, like awkward, like monkey species that sort of like, you know, rose to prominence and there's an underdog story there. But not in the time scale that matters. Not if you're telling that story. If you're telling a story about species, we are in the opening of the third act of the Bad News Bears. We're not even. It's not like if you know.
But the Bad News Bears lose that game.
I never saw it. I don't know. But we're watching this John Hurt like thing, Human Planet. This these guys. I'm assuming it's in Africa. I think that's where lions are. They just like. They get food by waiting for lions to attack like an animal like a gazelle or something, and then they have this technique like John Hurt tees it up and goes, "They've got an interesting technique, but first they have to wait for the lion to make its kill." And I'm like, okay, what is there going to be some weird thing like a fishing pole and then like a $20 bill on the end of a line?
It's not Vincent Price narrating that?
No, it's not. It's John Hurt. And I don't do an impression of either of them, so I can understand your confusion.
These are the guys that just sneak up and just scare the lions off.
No, they don't. Well, okay, I want to stress that they don't sneak up. The whole thing is they just roll up. They walk up like they're going to get a paper, and then part of the gimmick of this show is like all these people that you're visiting around all the corners of the earth, they all have their own language, you don't know what the hell they're saying, and that these subtitles, these kind of like they're modern subtitles because they kind of float, they're keyframed a little bit, they float a little bit, they float a few pixels to the right as the people are saying them. But the weird thing is, none of the people like if these subtitles are actual translations, that the America is the only place that has any linguistic nuance at all. Everyone everywhere else, if there's a guy climbing a tree to get to honey, he only ever says like, I found bees up here with honey. There's lots of honey in here. And that's what he would say to his friends after 20 years of doing this. He doesn't have any fucking like lingo, you know?
We did it again, hotshot.
Yeah, like come on, baby.
Booyah.
Yeah, daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Like we should be asking ourselves when we see the subtitles, what the fuck's going on? Even though it's translated into English, still, I get it. He's been doing this for a while. But everyone just keeps going. There's the line. There's the lions. Now we make our move. And these guys, two guys, and they just stand up out of the bushes. And there's 20 lions. And they're like, they have blood on their faces because they're just mushing their faces into, you know, dead gazelle and just eating them. Some of them have manes and the other ones don't. And like there's this, I think there's some significance there among them. But the point is, like, picture
totally
any
random
kind of lion. Picture anything. These aren't scrawny lions. These are like zoo lions. These are big, fat, fucking scary, giant lions, and like the kind you would get a wax sculpture of out of a machine. And there's 15 of them. 15 of them.
What machine dispenses wax lions?
That's not a universal thing?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, the Milwaukee County Zoo had these machines. I assumed that was a regular thing. I'm sorry. Go to the Milwaukee County Zoo. It's actually
the machine makes a wax lion.
They have a machine. They used to anyway at the Milwaukee County Zoo. There was a machine almost every exhibit, almost like every kind of category. Like there was a penguin and there was a lion, there was a giraffe. If you went there, you know, they kind of draw you in. Put a quarter in or a dollar. I'm sure it inflated, but when I was a kid, it was a machine that would. And really, none of what I'm about to tell you is going to make a lot of sense to modern ears. But this was before the internet, and also before I hit puberty. So I guess it made sense to me. It was a big machine, and you put coins in it. And it was kind of transparent what it was doing. It had a lot of tubes and metal things in it. And it would you would put enough coins in it, and it would go, and these metal things would come together. And then, like, colored wax would, plastic would go through these tubes into this thing. And it would drop it. A hot, dangerous, melted plastic lion into a tray that the machine very specifically told you, a la McDonald's giving you an apple pie. Like, your fault if you... somebody in the front row is holding... gave me a picture of one, yeah, that he got. He Googled.
So they would...
try to enjoy the show. Stop Googling.
I mean, so it's an injection molding machine that makes you a lion, or
it's a hot plastic injection, as okay. Judd Nelson would say.
Do you want to get a hot plastic injection later on?
Did
there?
He give you the hot plastic injection? Leave me alone. See this? This is what you get when you spill paint in the garage. Your dad molds a plastic giraffe on you. It very specifically tells you how you're allowed to hold it, because there's holes in the bottom of it, and that's where the plastic goes. Like, that's the umbilical point for the mother plastic machine. And if you hold it the wrong way, ostensibly melting molten plastic would drip on your child hands,
right?
Rendering them forever claw-like. You would become like this weird, like, self-loathing phantom of the zoo, feeding goats out of your weird, useless flipper. Come here. I'm here because I have to be. I once came because I loved it. Now I have nowhere else to go. No woman will touch me in the parking lot. I've turned into Peter Lorre. I took on a weird accent that can't be traced. It can't be traced. Rick.
Stimpy.
Stimpy. Stimpy, where am I from, Stimpy? Anyways, tonight's going to be a tangent-free night. I don't want to get off on any...
Tonight's show is called Focus.
So, when I tell you there were 20 lions burrowing their faces into this killer, because I used that handy reference to that plastic molding machine,
right,
you guys know exactly what I mean by 20 lions.
I had completely forgotten what you were talking about.
But imagine this, too. Here's the thing about lions in the wild. You know, they're kind of getting, no pun intended, I guess pun intended, but also not, no pun celebrated. They're getting catty with each other, you know? Like, they're eating the gazelle. I said not celebrated, lady. I couldn't have put a bigger disclaimer on it. I connected the dots. I proceeded as usual. I did everything I needed to do. I got in the airlock. I took a deep breath. I told everyone what was happening. I said, "Caddy," and some lady. it's a pun. I know, it's an accident. Fuck it, you know? Like, I'm not going to censor myself. So these lions, like, they're eating, and they're in a mode, you know? Like, they're at a point in their day and their lives where even another lion is pissing them off. They're like, this is good, you know, femur muscle. And someone's like, is the muscle good? You want to try some of the spleen? And it's like, I know you're just saying that because you're going to want the femur muscle. You know, like I'm not, I don't know, I don't want the spleen. If I wanted the spleen, I wouldn't have started eating the femur muscle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that... Is that only my pet peeve? Like when you go to eat with your girlfriend and like she's like, yeah, how is the duck? And you're like, the duck's fine. And I just in my head, I just see the chess game like of like, yeah, you want to try the duck, but and then you don't bite on it because you come from a family of poor people that guarded their food. So then they go, God, this chicken. Oh, you want to try some of the chicken? No, I don't want to try the chicken. I know it's a fucking setup. You want to get into a food exchange where the net result is you get my duck, but I ordered right. I win dinner.
So when you
take your losses, eat your chicken.
When you watch a documentary about lions over a carcass, you connect the dots to you having dinner with your girlfriend?
No, I just connected those dots now. I'm just what I'm telling you is that well, in order to explain to you what the state of affairs of these lions grazing over this gazelle, like they're not being polite. They're not lulled into a state of graciousness.
Right.
These are lions at the height of their lionness. They're like so mad that another lion could, but they're like going, you know, I'm eating. So into that fray marches these two fucking idiots with like blankets for shirts. They got nothing. They don't have like special lion guns or like rocks that they make a lion choke.
They have like sticks, and what they have is eye contact, and they just start walking up.
Just a gate, just a GAIT gate. Like they just stand up from the bush and they just go like they don't make a sense. They don't go like, hey, lion. They don't go whoop 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 whoop. Nothing like that. They just silently walk up like.
Well,
like,
they used to carry a GATE gate and just make it seem like they were separated.
Yeah, they
by
just
a...
slowly pretend like they live there. Oh, another piece of junk mail. Oh. Hey, what are you guys doing in my front yard? They slowly change their address by one digit. No, they walk, and the fucking 15 lions, they bone out. Yeah. They all go like, ah,
these guys mean business.
And these guys like quickly carve off, and then John Hurt goes like, they have to work quickly because, you know, because the lions will catch on to their bluff. They bluff, bluff. Yeah. The lions will catch on to their bluff. Hey, wait a minute. Those are upright walking primates.
You know,
that's more food that just stole our food.
You know that you're hungry when you're chasing lions off a kill. Like you have to be starving.
And they're like, and then they sling it over their shoulder like they're walking out of a deli, like a bad deli, because a good deli would give you a bag, but this is Africa. Like they just went Christmas tree shopping. They just, like, you know, like
yeah, and they don't run off. They just cruise out like
no, they're like just walk away, just walk away. And then they go, and then they're like around a campfire, and then the subtitles say like, "We got lucky with those lions today." They didn't know they could have eaten us.
Yeah, and that could have gone totally bad.
They'll do it again next Wednesday. But the I'm very impressed with human beings. Then there's another one where there's like these. God damn it! What is it? It's hey Aaron, what is it with the was it pigeons or something in the trees? What's the thing in
birds?
There's those birds that I don't want to spoil the ending. You know what I'm talking about?
The storm of birds that like eat all the crops.
Yeah. Okay. There's like these locust like birds that are basically like the avian equivalent of locusts, and they like eat everything. So and it's just sort of, again, it's just these guys that just hang out. They're like, these are birds that'll eat their crops. So like, but the humans have developed a different solution to the bird problem. At the end of the night, the birds must go home to their nests, where the humans have prepared a rather clever trick. They just show them like unspooling what looks looks like cable. I'm like, wait, this isn't. They're not smearing dung on their heads, and like this isn't a symbiotic relationship. Those look like canisters of gasoline, and they just show like A-teaming, like he's rigging these trees, and then it's like a joke. It's like a British sitcom or something. Like the birds all fly to their nest, and then it cuts to a wide shot, and it's the entire forest explodes, and then they move on to the next subject. On the shores of Scotland, humans love to ride segways. He doesn't comment on it. It's nothing. Like human beings, that plucky species. They'll just blow. These birds are getting out of hand. It just blew up the forest.
They'll have to do it again next Wednesday.
Very interesting species, and I think it's important to embrace it and say, you know what, you're all right, humanity. You're all right.
If you could be another animal, like in terms of like.
I would kill myself. I would be a suicidal porpoise. I would purposely go out of my way to find the places where people dispose of those six-pack rings and not cut them responsibly so I could hang myself.
Because you have a choice. Are you a predator, a scavenger, a victim, a herbivore, a carnivore?
Can I be an autotroph? Can I be a photosynthetic kind of just like mushroom?
No, animal.
I have to be a mammal?
Animal. Well, no, it could be an insect, bird.
Okay, all right, okay. I think I would, boy. I mean, there's hundreds of species in the world.
You know who seems like they got it right?
20 of them undiscovered.
Manatees. Manatees. They cruise around, they graze on grass, and nobody eats them because they're too big and fat, and no one fucks with a manatee. They just fucking cruise around.
Yeah, well, there is stuff like that, like at the top of the food chain. That's nice. Like,
but they're herbivores. Good. They're vegetarians, and nobody eats them because they're giant fat people.
Yeah. And they. Why are you raising your hand, Jesus Diaz?
You got one?
Quick comment about manatees, they get hit by propellers.
Well, they get hit by propellers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
They get, like, fins chopped off and stuff.
That's true.
I mean, I think the assumption is that you wouldn't have a manatee brain, right? You would be like Albert Brooks as a manatee, going like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm neurotic about this. Like, and I would assume a propeller and go, I don't want none of that.
I wouldn't choose to be a neurotic manatee. I would choose.
I'm just saying.
I'd be Alec Baldwin as a manatee.
You'd have a voiceover. You'd have a celebrity voiceover. Yeah, you'd be an intelligent manatee that had a kind of a dialogue with the audience. You'd be like, I'd be a Bruce Willis manatee. I'd be like, you know, all things considered, I'd rather be at Philadelphia.
And those estuaries.
Yeah. Oh boy, look, a propeller for me? Fool me twice. Come to Miami, hang out in the channel. I would be, or you could be a Liam Neeson manatee.
I wonder what that might...
I didn't mean to set myself up with one of my well-known impressions. All right, wait, okay, let me get out my phone. Let's start bringing people up. Listen to Duncan Trussell's podcast. I like to think that most of our audience is kind of overlapping, because I think if you like the meal you get here, it's pretty tasty over there as well, and vice versa. But I mean, right, if you haven't jumped aboard, like right now, like I feel like I, this is hyperbolic. I'm like a big podcast guy, but I feel like he must be making podcast history. His mom is dying. He just recovered from testicular cancer, which is completely unrelated to him. His mom is succumbing to breast cancer, I believe. It's just incredible. Like I had to pull my car over to the side of the road when he was just talking about it. I think he's in North Carolina. Getting her affairs in order and talking to her and stuff. And then it was already enough just him talking about it. It was mind blowing the way that this guy is able to cope with the fundamental things that cause us suffering, and the big giant cosmic elephants in the cosmic room. Like he's not Caesar Milaning them, but he is able to you're not supposed to. He knows that you're not supposed to, and he's just like, I don't know, the elan with which he talks about this stuff. And then on top of all that, just the most recently, now the most recent episode is. it's his mom. He's interviewing his mom, literally on her deathbed. There is no skirting around it. They're not, nor are they joking about it hilariously. It's not depressing. It's not fake uplifting. It's just honest and sincere and incredible. And there must be some kind of because this is how I process things. There must be some kind of potty award.
Oh, you mean like podcast? Like you take a poop when you're a baby.
I want to reduce everything to give him an award. That was great. That was a joke, but I guess you guys believe that I'm that petty.
You said potty, which makes it sound like poopies.
Oh, no, I don't think, no, they understand what I'm saying. They refuse to laugh at my joke because of, they're like, Dan, a woman's dying. And I'm like, yeah, but I have a joke that I'm doing. And they're like, yeah, we get it. You're not entitled to a laugh from us. And I'm like,
we visited a friend of ours that was in a hospital for maybe trumped up reasons and nothing was wrong with him, but you were very ill at ease in there. We were in their ER. With our friend.
Well, I don't like hospitals for sure.
Yeah, I mean nobody does, but you were you looked really like really freaked out.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't make a lot of eye contact in general. An emergency room is a 3-foot like closet. So if you're not making eye contact in an emergency room, it's like you don't really have. It's kind of like you can either stare at your friend in an emergency room bed, or you can do what you did, which is you showed up for 5 minutes and then you went, "I'm bored," and you left, which is fine.
I also said, "Do you validate?" Which is hilarious.
Right? No, we all did lots of bits and we had a great time. Yeah. Nobody thinks they might be dying like Dino.
I'm gonna use that forever now. Every time I go over to somebody, I'm gonna say, I gotta leave. Do you validate? This is hilarious.
We all took pictures and did bits about the environment and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'll own the fact that I don't like my friends in hospitals and I don't like strangers in hospitals. Yeah, I don't like hospitals.
There's people that get lightheaded and there's people that get sick to their stomach. I'm more of the stomach kind. I get a little queasy when I see people hurt. Although he wasn't. He was fine, but. Like I've gone and visited friends that were like, you know, had been in car accidents and stuff, and I get really like I want to puke.
All right. No, I maybe I win
some sort of pukey award.
He had you know what? Let me do what they didn't do. You know, there's basic human rights people have as performers. You know, they're if they go like this, for instance, or they bounce on their toes like Johnny Carson at the end of something, you could give them a chuckle, even if you don't think it's funny.
I didn't know whether to marry it or drive it.
And then you kind of do that. Thank you. Was that so hard? Jesus Christ! It's not. You know, I'm not running for office. Just doing a show. It's all a joke. I don't know what I'm saying ever. But I do know what I'm watching, and sometimes what I'm watching are horror movies. And last week he wasn't here, but he's here this week, and it turns out he's currently in the process of retiring his horror movie a day blog, and now it's more timely to bring him up. So God smiled upon us. Booking wise, so can we bring to the stage Brian W. Collins? Is he here?
Yeah.
Is he here? Maybe he's not here again. Oh, he's here. Okay, here he is. Brian's here. You can grab one of those.
Oh yeah. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Hello, room.
We can sit down like this and. So you're a longtime Armenian. I mean, as far as I know, you've been here since long before we even started podcasting. But I don't know or care. But I mean, we've talked to you often and know you as a friend, and that you have this blog, which I have never visited, but that I find endlessly fascinating, which is a surefire symptom of narcissism, like where you're like, oh, my friend does this really interesting thing, and I'm just like, still though, I'm gonna read this Tumblr entry about myself one more time. And it's no wonder my brain is decaying. I'm eating the lead paint of my own ego, and of course I'm gonna die of something. Brian, tell us about your blog in a nutshell, and know that I'm a bad interviewer.
All right. So, just a little over 6 years ago, I started watching horror movies every day, and a couple weeks into it, I just decided to start writing reviews as well.
That does it.
Thank you. Good enough. I studied being like an editor. I never really wrote much, so I just kind of figuring out how to write reviews every day. So
you watch a horror movie
every day?
Every day. For 6 years?
Yeah.
So what's 6 times 365? Anybody good at math?
1,800?
Is that right?
Well, I mean, there are days where I watch more, you know, I go to festivals and there's like four or something. So 2,500 is the mark that I'm stopping at, which is March 31st.
So first question is, how does that start? Like, at one point you noticed, you realized you were on a streak of watching one a day.
Oh, yeah, no. Basically what happened was that I had rented, you know, the discs from Netflix that all happened to be horror. And they were sitting on my couch for 4 months, and I was like looking. I'm like, wait, I could have just bought these three movies by now. This is 2007. They didn't have Netflix.
Wait, what do you mean? You bought them as opposed to what?
As opposed to paying for Netflix for 3 months for nothing, because this is before Instant, so it's just the discs.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, all right, four times whatever, three, you know, Netflix thing. I'm like, I could have just bought these. I'm like, you know, and then I just started thinking about my day. I'm like, all right, you sleep for 8 hours, you work for 8 hours. It's 8 hours of the day. I'm doing something. Why can't I just watch a horror movie?
Right. So, were you single at the time?
No, actually, the only time I ever missed a day was like a week after I started. My wife and I took like it was our 5-year anniversary of dating, and we went down to Long Beach for like a 4-day weekend, and I missed one day then. Yeah. The other 3 days, I still watched horror movies. But
so you've not missed, you've only missed one day in 6 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And is it?
That's why I didn't come last week, because I didn't watch the movie yet.
So oh, really?
Like, yeah, so I got out of work and I was like, shit,
is it an ordeal for you? Do you still enjoy it?
Yeah, no, it's part of the day now. So, I mean, it's not hard to like, I mean, every now and then things get busy, but.
So we can assume you've seen Leprechaun in the Hood.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. I want to. Lep in the Hood, up to no good, to do no good. So what do you think it is about the genre? Is it like cheesecake? Is it like is it a comfort food? Like the genre of horror, as opposed to sci-fi fantasy, as opposed to Tom Cruise thriller? Is there a factor you must have thought about this sometime in 6 years?
Well, Tom Cruise thriller day sucked. I mean, it lasted like a week.
Yeah.
I've loved horror since I was a little kid. You know, it wasn't like I just started watching horror that day. Like, I've always been into it since I was like 6 or 7.
So why do we like horror movies?
I think for me, I just found them the more creative, because you know, I always had friends that were into like doing special effects, makeup, and you know, editing and stuff like that. So to me, like, you can really get away with more when you're doing horror, as opposed to like romantic comedies where you kind of have to fit that formula.
Right. Did they scare you? Are there any?
Not that, since I was a kid. No.
So there's not one that still gives you nightmares or anything like that.
No, I mean, those. I rewatched like 2 years ago this TV movie that I saw when I was a kid called Don't Go to Sleep. Does anybody know that one?
No. Don't
Go to Sleep. It was a TV horror back like when they did made for TV movies every week. It's about a little girl that gets possessed by the spirit of her older sister who had died in a car accident. And she blames the family, so she systematically wipes out the family. And there's this bit where, like, she's possessed and she has a pizza cutter, and she's just, like, going up the stairs with this pizza cutter. And, like, she goes upstairs and kills her dad with it. And, like, that freaked the shit out of me when I was, like, 6 or 7.
There's always some image.
I'm afraid of pizza cutters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I open the kitchen drawer, I see one, I get scared.
It's funny that you would bring up romantic comedies as the obvious antithesis to the horror, which I think is accurate, because sex, which is the ultimate creative act, you're procreating, you're creating life, and death, which is, you know, I don't have to finish this thought. Like this is the battery that charges human life. Like we're avoiding, we're afraid, we're all gonna die. We know that we're gonna die, and we're also like driven to like make life and live life, and there probably is an equal volume of. Actually, I bet horror's got it like doubled or tripled, but like. You could watch a rom-com a day. You could try, and you wouldn't necessarily end up having a loop back on yourself. I think they might make one a day. The big question is, why isn't that like a visceral like thing? And I think the answer has to do with the honesty level of a society that's like high on the hog. I think in a post-Spielbergian box office world, you're just not allowed to be as creative with love as you are with death. I think that we have decided that death, because we elude it daily and have kind of compartmentalized it, we can actually, you can have Clint Howard in your movie and have him stab someone in the head with an ice cream cone and you know, like and go like, ah, what a fun way to kill that person, and here's a new way to make brains look real, and we're constantly experimenting with death and encouraged to do so because we've cartoonified death, because we don't actually, we've turned funeral parlors into, or, you know, the parlors of our homes into living rooms, and put funeral parlors down the street and like made dead bodies things that you bury, blah 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 blah. Ranting about that, but we've compartmentalized death in Western society, and so like movies are like, hey, fun. It's like, whoa, imagine if his guts were flying out. Romance, however, is like, it's on these rails. It's like okay, like, this guy's a bad guy because he's, you know, you can't do a million fun creative things with your dick and a vagina. That's pornography. Like that's not, like horror is still, it's not considered pornography, but it's like, it's equally voluminous and also dealing with the primary colors of what we deal with. Like, we're all scared of, yeah, monsters and dying and stuff. Thank you. I win the contest with myself to see if I can explain why horror movies are good. And they're not good. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you. You must know more than anyone how many of them are bad, because for the reasons I'm describing, more hacks are probably attracted to the bug lamp that is the horror genre.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, unfortunately, not only are there a lot of bad movies, there are, you know, no offense, bad fans, and that they're like, you know, you guys were talking about last week, the guys that like think Sharktopus and these sci-fi movies, they're funny. So you can make pretty much anything, and not only will people watch it, but it's easy to sell, because, right, you know, most horror movies are independent, and it's like, oh, you killed three people in it. Cool, we can put that on the cover and, you know, sell it in Germany and sell it over here. You know, romantic comedies, all these other things, you know, they're more star-driven. You can't, like, make, like, a low-budget rom-com and instantly get that sale when you go to, like, one of these film markets. So, yeah, I'll never run out of horror movies if I wasn't quitting, because there's always going to be hacks that are like, $10,000. Look at, they did Paranormal Activity. You know, we have a video camera in a house. We can
and
do
so
that, too.
And so you have to sit and watch, like, the most horrible ones of all, which you can browse through on Apple TV, and thank God for the preview feature where you can see from the trailer, like, oh, Jesus, they didn't even mix their sound. Like it's just like flies on a turd.
Now, when you're done with this, when you watch 2500, are you going to be happy to not have to watch these anymore, or are you still going to continue to watch horror films?
No, I mean, I'll still do stuff. I work for a couple different websites now, and like, I actually might be working for Netflix as like a horror expert of some sort.
If anybody is, it's got to be you now. Holy fuck.
So, you know, so I'll still be watching. It's just like, and the site will still be there too, and I'll update it when I feel like it, but I just won't like wake up and be like, all right, I got to find time to watch like some Children of the Corn sequel or something. Like, you know, or if I start watching a movie and it's terrible, I'll be like a normal human being like you guys and shut it the fuck off.
Now, what's your stance on the Leprechaun franchise?
I liked the first one when I was 13.
Right.
I think I watched one other. I watched one of the. He's gone to the hood twice.
Well, it's an interesting.
Came back from space. And
it's an interesting thing to look at in terms of sequology. Yeah. Like, if there's a term paper you could write, because everyone kind of widely will say, as a knee-jerk response, if you bring up the Leprechaun franchise, that Leprechaun, I think it was 3 in the hood, into hood.
So 3 was Vegas, I think. Or 2. 4 was in space, and then 5 and 6 were the hood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, the 2 hoods were in a row?
Are you
sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's not as interesting as I thought.
He goes to space?
He went to space.
And then he comes back and goes to the hood twice.
But it was better when he was in the hood. The reason why it was better when it was in the hood, you could tell watching the first one, like that it was like, it felt like it was written by white screenwriters. I don't know if any of this is true. Like, everyone correct me. But this is what it felt like. I'm not a journalist here. I kept picturing like 2 white screenwriters going like, you know, let's write a movie for the black people that wanna, like, let's put the people in the theater that are always yelling that crazy stuff, let's put them in the movie and have them yell the stuff at the leprechaun. That's what it felt like they were. It was sort of like this weird, like half love, half hate, like half a racist, half like cultural, like emboldening, like thing. That's what it felt like. I hope to hear it was written by a wonderful black screenwriter who was just working organically and not from a weird entomology perspective by some guy going, what would they like here? I think Ice-T should say what we're all thinking when we see the leprechaun as black America, which is, you ugly motherfucker.
And then pop a cap in them. Try to pop a cap in them. Show them that the cap popping doesn't work. Show them why. They want to know. We asked them after the first two movies, like, why wouldn't they pop a cap? You know, and let's show them pop a cap and then have the caps pop right back out. And then now you're invested. And I kind of agree with that philosophy. I'm giving them a weird like nasal dialect, but that might be me. That might be how I would approach writing a Leprechaun movie. Anyways, here's my observation that I would like to make about the Leprechaun franchise. Here's the thing. We watched like three of them for St. Patrick's Day. Leprechaun, that's his name. Definitely like watch these movies again and like watch a man he very, very many times under a variety of circumstances ends up pretending to be a woman to get a man horny and then killing him like right as the guy is like about to climax. He never does the other thing. He never, like, if he wants to just kill someone, he can just rip their finger off, or like he'll just go like, let me give you a leg up, and then he'll just rip your leg off. So it's like weird that he sometimes then will crouch behind a crate or a bed, and he'll just like a guy will be taking out the mail, and then some a woman will go, hey Carl, come here. And it'll just be this sexy lady, and then they'll just keep cutting to the leprechaun behind the crate going like, and he does it over and over and over again, and it keeps, I think it kind of escalates. Like, I feel like the Leprechaun series is about, on another level, it's about a bi-curious kind of mythical creature. Like, I feel like he's getting more and more either honest or dishonest. I can't tell, because one of them's about him. He wants to marry this woman, but then he keeps like, he's like, oh, I've got you here. Oh, my bride. Oh, but he never does anything with her. And then he keeps making excuses to go out and just pose as more women and have fake leprechaun sex with men. You know, I don't know. Watch it. Tell me what you think.
You just put more thought into the leprechaun sequels than any other, including the people that made them.
It's just that may be true, but mythology has a life of its own, and I feel the story being told with the leprechaun character, he's like Ulysses, you know, he's his own character, and I think that his character exists in a maelstrom of sexual feelings, you know. I feel like he's like popping out of the in modern America, and he's going like, oh, it seems like the standards are a bit different now. Oh, what was once a little weird to go to as a place, like, is now a little more okay. I could have a lot of fun around here. And he's sort of like, you're watching him like kind of push his boundaries, his own personal boundaries. Like, he's getting over his own cathexes. Like, there's no sign on the wall that says don't be gay. Like he's, that's in his head, but he's kind of like pushing it. Like, and he gets increasingly like more sexually amorphous as the series continues. So I think if they make another Leprechaun movie, they should just have him like naked, like and just kind of like.
They're making another one. It comes out this month.
Okay, thank you. Adam Goldberg says they're making another one. Comes out this month. I hope it's called like Leprechaun: The Gloves Are Off, and by gloves we mean sexual hang-ups, you know. And have them just have it. Maybe it's not a horror movie. Maybe it's just about, you know, like him doing his thing. Like why have to end it with a guy's face getting cut off? You know, if you look at the amount of time that's spent in each Leprechaun movie, percentage-wise, it's really. The more important theme in these movies is bisexuality.
Do they keep up? Because I didn't watch all the sequels. Do they keep up with? All I really remember about the first one anymore is like they stopped him by throwing shoes at him because he had a thing where he had to clean shoes.
Yeah, that's the original.
Yeah. Wait, you've watched over 2,000 movies now.
Yeah.
And you didn't get through more than one Leprechaun?
Well, that's the thing. That's how many horror movies ones there that are. I know. Like, I know the Leprechauns, are, like, especially the ones that, I mean, the first one actually played theatrically, and then
with a child like yeah. Jennifer Aniston. Unrecognizable.
If
Jennifer
I can make
Aniston.
A recommendation, I don't know how easy it is to do with Netflixes or Hulus or whatever's, but at some point in my life, a friend of mine got his hands on a copy of Child's Play. It was a Mexican, or it was a Spanish dub.
Dolly Dearest?
The Spanish dub of Child's Play. And it is hilarious. It's the best fucking thing. If you want to have a good time with your friends, get Spanish Child's Play. Because he's just this, they give him this kind of Speedy Gonzalez voice that's really. It's really.
He's just this little Spanish guy running around, and it's good. Also, E.T. in Spanish is hilarious because he really is like, he just sounds like an immigrant, like an illegal alien. He's like, Elliot, portate bien. And it's like, it takes on a different meaning.
Yeah.
Also, different, not horror, Breakin' 2. Is that Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Rent that movie. Is that the one with Turbo in it? Or is that
Turbo
and Turbo. Turbo, anytime Turbo is on, freeze frame. Because he's making the funniest face in the world. I used to send this out there, put it on, go to send images to me. Anytime Turbo is on the camera, hit pause. Funniest shit you'll ever see in your life. Get high and watch Breakin' 2 and hit the pause.
We should have like Oprah's book club. We could have let's all watch before we reconvene. Let's all watch. We'll pick one movie that we can watch this week.
Let's all watch Hard Target.
We'll
talk about Wilford Brimley afterwards.
Maybe we'll pick one by the end of the show and experiment with that concept. So it's called horrormovieaday.com.
Yeah. Horrormovieaday.com. Or yeah, it's on Blogspot, but yeah.
It's on Blogspot. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, it's got this long, because the Blogspot, it's a URL, so it's like a whole bunch of terrible, dashes and stuff. So just horrormovieday.com.
It'll redirect you.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll slash through your URL and murder it. Horrormovieaday.com. Thank you, Brian W. Collins, for visiting us on the eve of your...
Thank you, Brian.
He seems like an okay guy. Seems like
I'd lose my mind watching that many horror movies.
I like random I need something like that. I need some kind of thing to come into my life where I'm like I have a thing, where you go like okay I'm gonna do this thing now.
It's called Minecraft.
Well, no, nothing. That's just that's not. If I were to say I'm going to play 2 hours of Minecraft every day or something, you could turn something unhealthy into something healthy. It's a structure, But that's not going to be it. That's dumb. That's a dumb idea. You just pitched. It's a dumb idea. Something like I'm gonna do stained glass in my basement. I'm gonna make a stained glass duck. I'm gonna make my own BB gun. I'm gonna make a BB gun and it's gonna fire a real BB.
Don't you owe Fox a script right now?
Yeah. I'm gonna write that, but then
if I'm a Fox exec and I'm hearing this podcast next week and you're talking about making BB guns, I'm like, where's my sitcom?
Yeah. I think they've moved on. I think if they're smart, they've moved on. But I'm saying I need a hobby, at a certain point. As soon as I finish my job, I need a hobby. Let's keep the train rolling and bring. Let's get Spencer up here, huh?
All right.
Because we also watched Space Jam last night.
Yeah. I got drunk and went home. I missed that one. Hello, Spencer. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm good.
That was a measured response.
Did you stay for all of Space Jam last night?
No, I left pretty early. I mean, I've seen that movie, but I used to watch it a lot. I had, what were those the Martian guys called?
The Monstars.
Monstars.
No, before that, they had like a dumb name that wasn't a team name. It was like something Ling, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever. I had stuffed animal versions of all the puny little versions. It was pretty awesome. And I had like a favorite, But they were all really like cut and paste before they got like superpowers. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So they were just different colors. I was like,
Is Space Jam like the Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Jordan and Bill Murray and Newman.
Yeah. Does that I imagine have a Space real Jam name? Might be some people's Xanadu in this room, given the age.
Does anybody here love Space Jam? Yeah? By applause. Don't raise your hand. Really?
In spite of knowing that it's terrible.
And non-ironically. Or is it an ironic love?
I grew up in Chicago in the 90s. Michael Jordan was like a god. I thought it was the greatest movie ever made.
So you love it because Michael Jordan is a protagonist in it? Or is he like a guest star in it? Or is he
No, he's
no,
the
he's,
guy.
He's a protagonist. It's a buddy comedy with him and, Bugs Bunny.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, yeah, I all I remember is that Marvin Martian's in it, right? Isn't he out there like a... Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, all the Looney Tunes are in it, and they play basketball. If I were to... I tried to run through today the narrative, like kind of cascade of like why are, ending with the answer to why are they playing basketball? Why? What are the stakes? It starts five iterations up, like on a planet that is both animated but not Looney Tune planet. It's a planet of animated monsters that need amusement. They're in an amusement shortage, and the boss of that planet says, "I want the Looney Tunes to work for us." And he sends his henchmen out, and the henchmen go, and they tell the Looney Tunes, "You have to work for us." And the Looney Tunes go, you know, they use Bugs Bunny clever power to go, "Hey, we get a chance to fight back before you indenture us into servitude." And instead of just saying you're not allowed to do this, Bugs Bunny says, "You have to give us a right to, a chance to fight back." And they go, "Okay, how?" And they go, "Okay, they're really small, so let's play basketball." So then, because they say basketball, the monster aliens steal the talent from Charles Barkley and Lil Penny or whoever was in a Nike commercial back then, and they all grow big because that means they're talented. And because they do that, then the Looney Tunes go and abduct Michael Jordan from a golf course. Meanwhile, there's a B story to the movie which details Michael Jordan's emotional journey from going from basketball player to baseball player to golf hobbyist and friend of Bill Murray. Bill Murray, meanwhile, walks into and out of the movie of his own free will anytime he wants. Just like in the middle of his own scenes, Joel just go, "Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to..." And he'll just disappear from coverage. Where'd Bill Murray go? Wasn't he there a second ago? Yeah, I guess he got tired.
It's like in Tootsie. He's there, he's gone.
Yeah, he's just bad. It's by, and then so there's another character played by the fat guy from Jurassic Park who I... My writer's eye tells
Wayne
me it's
Knight?
The same character. Yeah, Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
It's the same character, but for all the scenes Bill Murray couldn't do.
No.
Wayne Knight is kind of, there's another character. He's Michael Jordan's agent or something. But anyways, like I said, if I were to start trying to explain Space Jam to you, we'd be here until like 9 p.m.
But there are people here that love the movie. On its own merits or simply because you were from Chicago and Michael Jordan lived there?
It was great.
Come up on stage. Can we get you on stage? Let's get you. What's your name? What's your name? Shannon. Come on, Mike. Shannon.
Shannon.
Shannon, Space Jam apologist.
Hi.
I mean, like, I love being right about stuff. So let me try to. I'll answer the question for her, and we'll see if she agrees. Some movies are so like loud and big and weird and of such a time in your life. That's why I brought up the Xanadu comparison. There's no arguing that Xanadu is a good movie. Xanadu is an insane movie, though, and it was part of my childhood. All right, go, Shannon. So when someone asks, do you like it ironically or not, or like, no, I like Mac and Me ironically. Like, that's a horrible movie, and I don't actually have any connection to it. But you have an emotional connection to it.
I do.
Space Jam, but you could probably recognize with your adult brain.
Yes, yes, but that doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop me from having kind of an emotional reaction to it even now in
right.
adulthood.
And there's a lot of movies. Goonies, I'm looking at you. Like, my generation, I'm 40 now. I can finally start saying this without getting booed because I'm getting so old. But 10 years ago, if I said Goonies was shitty, which it is. It is. Goonies is a ridiculous cacophony of logical loop-de-loops. It is an insane, it is an opera written by a madman in a footlocker at the bottom of the ocean. Like, there is,
all right,
Goonies is out of the
so
fucking
mind. So what's a better movie as a whole, Space Jam or Goonies?
Space Jam.
No, fuck you. No, Goonies is better than Space Jam. No, Goonies.
You pushed him. I almost had him.
Goonies is better than Space Jam. Goonies. Okay, here's it's the difference between a sociopath and a regular murderer. Like, Goonies knows what it's doing wrong. Like, Space Jam will kill again if you don't lock it up. Space Jam has no idea. Space Jam's like, what? Yeah, I'm a movie. Goonies is like I'm a movie. Like they know. Like if there was a Goonies 2, we'd focus on the Chunk character more, and do more blender scenes with Space Jam would be like, well, what have we learned? Cha-ching.
I don't feel like Space Jam knew what it was doing. Shannon?
How many times have you seen Space Jam, Jen? How many times have you viewed Space Jam?
In my childhood, probably in the dozens. I haven't seen it in quite a while because my parents have it on VHS and nobody fucking has a VCR anymore.
Right.
I did. Really?
Space Jam party.
You can probably, I'm sure it's Space Jam's on YouTube. I mean, it's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm 40. I don't care. Yeah. Is it Space Jam in one of your little friendship bracelets? Can't you just download it on a USB dongle?
Shannon, what are your favorite movies of all time? What do you think of as your favorite genre, your favorite kind of movie, or your favorite? Do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Stripes, actually.
Oh.
Stripes is a goodie.
When's the last time you saw it?
Probably in the last year. I have it on DVD.
Yeah. I mean, some of these movies you go back to, like Back to the Future. I saw a double feature of Back to the Future and Goonies, and it was like because they're both right around the same time, but it was like a study in, okay, there are movies from a certain age when your brain was like firing certain chemicals, like you have permanent imprints on these movies. And I would call them identical walking into that theater as a 30-something. I was like, I'm going to see Goonies and Back to the Future, two indelible, comparable like masterpieces of from my childhood era. But walking out of the theater, I was like, okay, come on. Goonies is a nostalgic mess. Back to the Future, I think, remains as kind of a well-structured like little piece of cinema that took 7 years to write and blah, blah, blah. What were we talking about?
Space Jam.
Space Jam versus Stripes. Like, Stripes I'm afraid to go back and watch, is my point.
Why would you be afraid?
I'm afraid it will be a Goonies and rather than a Back to the Future.
Stripes is hilarious because there's 11 35-year-olds pretending to join the military. There's clearly people in their 40s that are in this unit. It's really funny. And everybody's drunk in it. John Candy, John Larroquette. Everybody's like just a bunch of alcoholics.
What I remember about that movie is it has a very strange... It's got a three-act structure overall, but it also exists in two giant acts because there's the point where they actually... Like, in the 11th hour, like, but the movie's only halfway over.
Like, seems like the movie is over.
It turns into this weird action movie, yeah, with the RV and stuff. But it was good. It shares that with the good Batman movie. Like that Batman movie was like, what the fuck? When's this over? I don't care. I don't know. All right. Now, okay, now, truck chase. Okay, fuck it.
Well, thank you, Shannon. Shannon, everybody.
Shannon, thanks for coming up and talking about Space Jam. Space Jam. But they come up with that name, too. Weird. I'll tell you exactly where they came up with that name. They tested each letter of each word. They're like, so far we've got Spud Cum.
Well, there was also
No. So people like A more than you.
There was Jock
Spade Cum?
I always thought it was because there was Jock Jams at that point, right? Like, wasn't there a thing where
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to be a fly on any wall during any part of any branch.
Adam Goldberg, why was it called Space Jam?
They used jam all the time in the 90s. It was the number one word, the way rad ruled the 80s.
And A Jam.
And then that's not your name. Adam Goldberg is my name, and consulting producer on Community, Adam F. Goldberg's name.
Right.
Not the same person.
Okay, that was my fault. That was my bad. I mean, now I tapped that hornet's nest.
When he started saying they used jam all the time in the 90s, I was like, wait a minute, come on. Was it like I thought he meant like jelly?
No.
I'm like, come on, no more than the 80s. I was there for all of this. The jam did not become a bigger thing. I'm officially my grandparents.
The 90s
come on,
had
young man. Jam is universal.
The 90s did have Jock Jams and Pearl Jams, and we had lots of 90s jams.
Jock Jams and Pearl Jams. Isn't that gross that they named their band Pearl Jam? That's gross.
Pearl Jam sucks. Fuck Pearl Jam.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
No, fuck them. That's terrible.
Hey, Jeff. Why you gonna make me feel bad about my band?
Oh, Eddie.
No.
We are people. We have feelings. You've hurt them.
It was the 90s was a great time to be an angry white guy and be all bummed out and wear a fucking helmet.
Before we called it emo and just kind of like both embraced it and wrote it off, it was like it was being presented as if this is the new thing. Yeah.
I think that was what was uncomfortable for people.
And I invite all of you to tell me I'm a bad person online for not liking Pearl Jam. It's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of bad...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know why? Because they're indefensible. Pearl Jam is an unsupportable band.
They'll accept. They're these guys, look at them. Look out in this audience. Look at these young
Shannon,
faces.
Do you love Pearl Jam too?
No.
Okay, good. So she's not just jam-centric.
No. These guys are post iTunes. They're little toon babies. They have little hologram dongles that they use to subscribe to their music from a stream in a cloud. And part and parcel of that is that they don't have the same emotional. They go, oh, did you hear that new granddaddy? I heard that EP was an LP on the SP. You know.
No, I don't.
I don't either. I'm just trying to get through it. I don't know, it's like you had to put all this energy into buying an album. And,
Spencer,
and
it's are
like
you...
If you bought a Led Zeppelin album and like someone else said Led Zeppelin sucked, oh, you got something to defend. But if you download Zigger Spligot, you know, it's like you listen. You don't care. Like you got a whole fucking catalog of shit. Like everyone's an individual. Like they don't really care that much if someone goes like, and no one's gonna go, that's stupid. That sucks. I think. Maybe I'm projecting onto them my wishes for the younger generation to be more actualized. Maybe
Spencer, are you a music purchaser? Are you a music guy?
No. I mean, I listen to lots of music. I don't purchase a lot of music.
How do you get your music?
You know, sometimes I'm just on my computer and. This is legal stuff, man. They're gonna listen to this podcast.
Sometimes a bit just falls on me, and then sometimes more of them come in like a torrent of.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get caught in a tempest of bites
of peer to peer pressure. So you've been stealing music online all the time.
I've bought maybe 3 albums in my life, but I mean. Like,
but you will pay the piper.
6 days of music, probably. You know? But I don't know. It's really eclectic. I usually get discographies, and then I'm like, oh, I like this album, and delete a lot of stuff, and then I, you know, have what I like, and I kind of just cycle through it randomly.
What's in heavy rotation for you right now? What's in the car?
Let's see. Borders of Canada has some good tracks. I think the Campfire Head Phase is the album I've been listening to a lot. There's DeLorean is a band with an album called Subiza, which is just really delicious. Gold Panda makes this really weird electronic
Panda.
Music, and it's pretty awesome. I listened to it at an airport, and it was perfect.
What about Nose Cone? You listen to Nose Cone?
Oh yeah, you know Nose Cone. He had some deep YouTube riffs. I was really into that.
I just made that name up.
I was ripping the audio. Yeah. No, I'm bullshitting also.
Oh, okay. I thought I riffed a real guy. And I wanted to cop to it. I felt bad. I
said we play some D&D. How's that sound right now?
Well, we got to get Kamail out here.
Kamail,
you like Nose Cone?
No, I like the Peaceful Muttons. They're really good right now.
Sandblast.
I have a couple points to make. Space Jam is clearly from NBA Jam, which was a huge basketball game in the 90s. Don't clap Adam Goldberg as if that's what you were saying. The other point, you gave it so much shit for exposition.
Yeah.
You gotta jump through a lot of hoops to get Elmer Fudd and Michael Jordan in the same room. It can't be like, open on basketball court. Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan are hanging out.
Okay, here's how many hoops you have to jump through to get Elmer Fudd and Michael Jordan in the same room. The same number of hoops that they jumped to get Elmer Fudd and Michael Jordan in the same room. One, they jumped Michael Jordan through a literal and figurative threshold. They sucked him through a golf course hole into cartoon land, and Elmer Fudd was right there and said, oh, hi, how are Michael Jordan, I love you. Their crime that they committed was...
By the way, I am not defending this movie at all.
For fun, defend it.
It's really good.
You're saying... You're saying it's a necessary evil because of the a subject matter, that there needs to be five thresholds instead of one threshold. And I'm saying that will never be true until our sun supernovas. Our stories are allowed to just have one fucking, like, what if.
I've never, full disclosure, never seen the movie.
So or finish the word disclosure.
Never done that.
Never done it.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
Can I also, you were talking about Human Planet. Can I quickly say what my favorite thing is?
Speak it well.
There's one story. It's all like humans in extreme conditions. So Papua New Guinea, there's this one village that just eats sharks. That's all they eat, which is like sort of an arrogant, dickish move, you know? But they're like, you have fruit. What are you doing? They're like, well, sharks, we eat them for breakfast. Like, that's what they're going for. So they have one guy in the village who's the designated shark hunter, and now he's like 70, and then they just like send this guy out. He's like, all right, I'll go get more shark. And he gets into a canoe that he's made, and he's like 70, and he's like ripped.
Are these the guys that just like strangle him on the side of the boat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to tell the story.
Sorry.
We'll he's like up. Super ripped, like, but he's like Nepal ripped, you know, not like gym ripped. He's like Sri Lanka ripped. So he gets into the boat.
Man,
and he
I want to be Sri Lanka ripped.
It's
so
great.
Bad, man. Yeah.
It's great. And he just goes to the middle of the ocean, and then he starts singing his shark beckoning song.
No,
I fucking swear to you. Yeah, well, I don't want to do the song for you because
even flow.
Yeah, that's what it is. It would sound like this. Is what the song sounds like? Pretend you're racist, and then imagine a tribal song. That's what it
well,
sounds
come on,
like.
Do it. Just do it. Now that you just claimed it by
it's
saying
like,
it sounds racist.
Pearl Jam. You're doing Pearl Jam.
Yeah. It's a lot like Pearl Jam. And then he sings this fucking song.
With a little, just a hint of Hepburn. Just a...
Oh, you're
a knight in shining armor. Oh, poop.
It's a little bit like, what was that song, Sadness? Where everything's going backwards or whatever.
Incandescence, what's that called?
Enigma.
Enigma.
Enigma. So he starts singing this fucking song, okay? And he's singing it all day and all night. There's no food because they run out of shark. All day, all night. On day three, a shark shows up. And even the John Hurt is like...
And he has the balls to assume it's the song.
I know. I want to go up to the guy and be like, try once without the song.
Yeah, one time a control group.
Exactly, just once. Either I believe it was a coincidence or that the magical shark beckoning song works and everything I know is lies, you know?
It only takes 6 days to test the theory that without a song, the shark takes twice as long to show up.
Just do it once. So the shark shows up and then he starts fashioning a noose, which I'm like, have the noose already fashioned? You've been there for 3 days. Get the noose, act like you've been there, you know? So he... So he...
always be noose making.
This is my favorite part. He always be noose making.
Shark is for closers.
I've got a 12-foot boat. I've got a custom-made shark noose. That's my name. Who the fuck are you? David Mamet presents The Shark Stranglers.
So he fashions this noose, and as the shark... This is my favorite part. As the shark is going by, he lassos the shark in the open ocean. He lassos it, and then, I swear, he lassos it, and then he does, like, a fist pump. He's like, yes! So I'm like, we're all human. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the only gesture we have.
You might
like,
have picked that up from the camera crew.
Maybe. They were like,
holy shit, I have just enough SD card to store that footage.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, really? That's interesting.
Exactly. So, like, the SD card gesture.
I always wonder that when they're getting the shots, it's like, clearly you're getting the shot from a Jeep, but you're studying these guys who just hang out with wearing blankets for shirts and bluffing lions. Like, the gods must be crazy.
Well,
what's happening here? Is that contamination?
I always thought there was, like, a couple years ago, they found a new tribe in the Amazon. The pictures were like, they were like, we don't, you know, they were like looking up at this thing, this helicopter, and they were like, we didn't want to disturb them because we didn't want to go down. You've already changed everything.
That
helicopter is their god now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Iceman.
They're going to go back and be like, burn the books. This is all lies. Look at that thing. Look at that.
Todd, what have I been saying?
Yeah. See, I told you. Metal bird.
I used to worship a toucan. Look at that fucking thing.
Yeah.
There's three of us inside that toucan.
They're clearly, like, all of them have, like, their bows and arrows out, like, pointing at this thing. Yeah, like, you've changed everything.
And I don't even mean, like
might as well give them AC/DC t-shirts.
That's a clear
now.
Example of those guys actually live in actual isolation to the point, that kind of contamination. But also, there's just, like, these people who, they know what a Jeep is, and they know what a camera crew is. They're bringing a camera crew along, and they're saying, like, the camera crew is going, show us how you bring your 18 cattle from 600 miles across the desert waterhole, and then have a weird negotiation with the elephants with a stick in order to get your cattle fed. And it's like, I just mean like emotional, psychological, long-term contamination of like this 16-year-old kid going like,
fuck.
Go faster in a Jeep.
Yeah.
All right, see you later. That's a wrap.
Yeah. They should just show them on their iPad like Phantom Menace. Like, watch this. All right, we're going to go.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's so weird. Like, that's not so, I know, everyone knows it's weird. It's
all right, Aaron McGathy, you here tonight? Let's get Aaron McGathy up here, shall we?
Aaron McGathy. The only thing, I just saw Leprechaun in the Hood. The only thing I wanted from that movie was the leprechaun to refer to his pot of gold as bling. Right, that is all I wanted out of it.
That might have come. The bling might have happened after the first Leprechaun in the Hood.
Maybe, because I didn't. He was never like, I got to get some bling or whatever.
They really like. It was a very selective like membrane in terms of what racism got through and what they refused it to. It's very very weird. Like you'd look at one example and go like. Well, that's just ridiculous. Like, why would you do that? And then the other one would go, well, why would you choke up on that bat? Like, I can't think of examples, but when you watch Leprechaun tonight, here's an interesting thing. There's a point in the movie where he has beguiled this trio of hoochie mamas, badonkadonks. I don't know what you'd call them in the parlance.
I think that's
of
the preferred girls. Nomenclature.
Yeah. They're zombie fly ladies.
They're zombie fly ladies.
Girls.
And that's right. It's a sort of multi-ethnic like trio of like yeah. They have green eyes underneath their Ray-Bans, and they have like gold tight-fitting lamé dresses, and they don't match with their shoes. They don't explain where they came from, except through some weird ADR line. Then they're just there. Then during the ending credits, see the origin. He does a rap in a which you would expect to see in a movie called Leprechaun in the Hood. You'd expect to see Warwick Davis do a rap. And he doesn't do it until the ending credits. And he's like, oh, my name is Leprechaun. I'm here to say I just came from Dublin in a shuttle today. I got my bling bling bloom and my Blarney stone, and I'll possess your mind, and you're not alone. And while he's doing it, he's like hypnotizing these fly girls in this bar that
That's
we never
right.
saw in the movie. So it seems very clear to me that they extracted that scene from the middle of the movie where it really belonged. And the only reason I can think that they extracted it is that they actually hit some kind of threshold where people, the test viewers, are like, yeah, you know what? Come on, at that, I want to make fun of the movie. I don't want you to Piranha 3D me. Like they actually hit like a tipping point where people are like, fuck you. Like when he started rapping, it's like, well, what's my job? If I'm supposed to get high and watch a movie. Well, if you guys are high, fuck you. And they went, oh, you know what? Yeah, people like that it's campy. They like that it's stupid. And they want to make fun of the movie. Like, we need to actually commit to our job and move this rap number to the ending credits.
I thought you were saying that they'd hit too many, like, cultural, like, urban things. And then people were like, all right, that's too much shit.
No.
And then over the credits, you can be as offensive as you want.
No, that wasn't my guess. I truthfully, on that topic, I felt like all pound for pound, I thought that they actually, like, I found myself going, I expected to be quote-unquote offended, you know, I expected to be going, what? Like, way more per minute.
Yeah.
This movie, like, kind of safe. It was pretty safe for a movie called Leprechaun in the Hood.
I just feel like Warwick Davis has set little people rights back, like, so many hundreds of years with his body of work.
I mean, has he, or is he? Is he?
It's like when, like, you know, you like. Oh God, how do I get out of this? I was gonna say, like,
let's write a one-act
it's true
play.
For a lot of like urban youth, the way out is basketball or rapping,
right?
And so for little people,
are
now it's like becoming in horror movies.
That's you there. A hero if you get into the NBA, or are you perpetuating like a cycle of like unrealistic expectations or whatever that you would call that? No idea. But I want to see a one-act black box theater production about a mythical meeting on a fateful 1998 night between Peter Dinklage and Warwick Davis.
He's like, all right, I'm going to go to the right, you go to the left. I'm going to do eventually Game of Thrones and movies that are Oscars. You can rap in an Irish accent.
Like, they do plays of like, what if on the eve of his assassination, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X like had a conversation. Like, they do plays like that.
Do it
with Dinklage and Warwick Davis.
I bet they hate each other.
But you have normal people play the like non-little people, because you're like no, the big draw here is that, you know, this is, I mean, God,
you
this is David Strathairn, for God's sakes. He's a...
You just tie, like, shoes at their knees? Is that what you're suggesting? Dwarf style?
Or maybe you just make the sets really
or
big.
Yeah, just make Lily Tomlin it. Just have giant chairs.
And this can all be set at Abed's restaurant.
No, that's the other way.
Oh, right.
It's got to be the reverse of that.
Or maybe starts at Abed's restaurant, and then they leave, and you're like, oh, no, everything there was little.
Yeah.
You don't know. He says goodbye. Thank you for coming to... What's the name of Abed's restaurant?
Bites. And then, didn't you pitch an idea where it's just leftovers? That it was like bites taken out of burgers and stuff?
My question was, would it be things shaped like the bite that somebody took?
Like,
or would it be a hamburger with a bite already taken out of it?
Oh, you know? No, I think the appeal is that it's a miniature version of a...
Miniaturized
version, yeah. Although that's a good idea.
No,
yeah, you could call it, are you going to finish that?
All right, Spencer, get us up to date on the D&D, would you?
All right, I will. Last town on Harmontown.
wait. Last town?
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
After fighting with a grip of sinister serpentine foes, Sharpie had been poisoned. As the fast-acting poison coursed through his veins, the wizard fell into a deep slumber. Realizing what must be done, Mulrain Sedana donned her hat of disguise, taking the form of someone she thought must look like Sharpie's mother, before attempting some curious reprogramming on the sleeping mage. Quark and Christopher got uncomfortable and checked out some old statues to pass the time, but realizing the flaws in Mulrain's methodology, attempted to grease the wheels on the whole situation. After being gripped tightly by the dreaming wizard, Christopher freaked out and stabbed him with a knife, waking the wizard with a quick prick. After some discussion, the group entered the larger chamber, bisected by a cracked staircase, and started to try and figure out some rope situations to get the treasure. Their musings were interrupted by a powerful voice taunting them. A dragon! Recognizing the dire danger that this magical beast presented, the gang launched into action. The barbarian slashed in rage and then tried to climb up to a statue or something. Mulrain fired arrows. Sharpie summoned the monstrous scorpions Keith and David to distract and threaten the dragon, while the sneaky rogues stabbed the dragon in the dick with a paralyzing syringe. The attack seemed to be working, but still the dragon fought on.
Spencer, everybody. And again...
I just remembered last week marked a milestone where we played D&D for like, it seems like 40 minutes, and then at the end of it, Spencer was like, you guys have to stop.
It's going to take a long time to kill that dragon.
Which was a milestone, because we were engrossed. If you listen to the recording, we were like, we had finally stopped going like, D&D, like we've got to make sure it stays on, you know. Like, oh, cliffhanger, and Spencer was like, you guys, knock it off.
Well,
go to bed.
I thought that you would, I thought you were just expecting me to, like, truncate the combat at the end of the session sort of thing, and I'm like, not, there's a dragon, bro.
So how many hits have we put on this dragon?
Let's see, I think you hit it once, sliced it in the neck, he took an arrow or two, you shot him in the... between the eyes, I think, and it made him look kind of silly.
He was in berserker rage, and he did some stuff.
Yeah, and then, he hit him in a berserker rage and distracted him while you got in position, and then you went and tried to climb up a statue to jump off of it, but you failed the climb check.
Right.
You summoned a scorpion, didn't do much. Then you summoned another scorpion.
Keith and David.
Yeah, Keith and David.
Okay, so by popular demand, by popular hand-wringing, brow-sweating demand... check in with us about our hit points and get definitive for the people, because they never know. People tweet me and they go, I don't know when to be concerned that you guys are about to die. I don't know what's going on. It's a, like we don't pay attention to that because we're a bunch of drunk like performers. Like we never go, oh shit, I have 3 hit points.
Yeah, it's true. Sharpie, right now you're at 24 hit points.
Nice.
Solid.
Out of my 30. You know, so.
Yeah, that's like you have like a smoker's hit points.
Yeah.
It's not bad. You're okay.
What's the range?
Well, it's you max out. Every time you level up, your maximum hit points go up, like a video game.
No, the 24 is solid.
All right, so how many does Krista Berg have right now?
Krista Berg is sitting pretty at 43. I don't think he's gotten hit this whole time, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mulrain has how many?
Mulrain?
Yeah.
Right now you have 35 on this.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I have a maximum of 51. I took a beating last time, didn't I?
Yeah, you're right. Actually right now at 38. So
okay. Oh, we're all doing pretty well.
That's
not
okay.
Bad. No. It's true.
All right, so the dragon's still pacing the cage.
And it's still got a numb dick, right?
Yeah. The poison hasn't quite, you know, taken hold. But, it was in the dick.
And there's I have 2 scorpions in here.
Yeah, Keith and David. Yeah. And it's important.
And I'm allowed to give them standing orders to attack the scorpion, the dragon.
Sure. They'll go on your turn. I'll try to remember. I'm what up? I'm going to put it at Jeff's turn.
Okay.
Unless anyone has any more questions.
Has my far sword recharged?
No, it hasn't, in fact.
And so can I do a flaming sword attack?
Yeah.
All right, flaming sword attack.
Flaming sword attack. With your flaming sword, you charge the dragon and slice towards his flesh, striking a quite decent blow at his chest.
Yeah. Here we go.
Dealing, I'm bad. I hate myself. 11 damage.
You know,
how much damage did you deal to yourself?
I'd say I lost a good 3 charisma points. You know.
All right. So we've given this guy a lot of hit points.
He's taking a beating. Who's next?
Let's just go down this way, and then I'll go. It'll be easier.
In this area where we are, is it possible to climb up so we have an advantage from above?
There are those statues. They're a good 15, 20 feet tall. You would be above him.
Can I move silently up the statues?
Yeah, you can definitely try it, but it's pretty tricky to climb and be stealthy. So, you know, if your attention is split, it'll be a bit tougher than if you just tried to clamber up it.
Okay. Well, I wink at Sharpie and I try to climb up the statues.
All right.
Is that 2 turns?
Well, I officially retire.
Yeah. The wink fails.
Yes. Yeah. Off the lumber, no number. Too high, no die.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Spencer's 20-sided die fell off the table.
Yeah, for the podcast listeners.
Or, I mean,
that
is
puts
it,
him
is
at
it
minus
2
for this dog leg right on the links.
I mean, I guess you already rolled, but would it be too much to say I use the rope to climb up the statue?
Well, I would assume you'd use the rope in some fashion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Me too. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
same page.
It's good you guys are on the same page. Yeah. That's nice.
So throwing the rope over the shoulder of the statue, you catch it and begin to try and hoist yourself up. But the arm of the statue actually breaks off and falls down.
What? You just did that.
I take my food sack and I empty it out on the ground.
That's a roll of a 2, by the way, you know.
Okay.
Oh, that's
for the listeners.
Did the John Williams score go da 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 da
meow? It's so frustrating watching those movies. Blue balls. So is it me now?
Yeah, that'd be you. You're kind of lurking right
Am
now.
Am I still stealthy right next to the dragon?
Yeah, he hasn't yet noticed you, but you know, he's a bit sluggish.
Yeah, because of the dick stabbing.
Yeah. That'll happen.
He's not fucking anything soon.
Not for, or he has like great stamina, right?
Yeah. Okay. Could go either way.
Yeah.
I have another poison dagger. I have a poison dagger.
Yeah, you have a poison dagger. It's true.
Can I just stab him in the same dick?
How many?
Go for.
as opposed to
go for a more vital part of him, like his head or his heart or something.
How many dicks do dragons have?
This is a question I've been asking for years.
And I can't. How many dragons do you know?
That movie sucks.
Just the one.
I take exception to your critique.
Just the one dick.
Just the one dick? Where is it a good idea to stab the...
You know, wherever you can.
What, you, am
can't
I still,
afford, you can't afford to be picky.
Am I still close to the dick?
You're not too... You're actually a good, like, 15 feet off at this point, you know.
Get him in a major artery or a blood vessel or something.
But you know? I don't know where that would be.
That's true. You wouldn't.
Yeah. Guys, I'm just going to play it safe and stab him in the dick.
All right. Go with what you know, Krista Berg. Krista Berg, you are kind of a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, with everything.
Yeah.
I know one thing and I just fucking go at it.
I guess don't change horses.
Stabbing in the dick is the dragon fighting version of Lady in Red.
I'm starting to think that a dragon dick hurt you in the past.
Or just a dick that to him was larger when he was at a certain age.
Right.
So as a rogue, you have the ability to sneak attack, which means if they're kind of unaware of you, you can do extra damage. So do you want to go for that probably, right?
Yeah, and the good thing is his dick is already numb, so it'll do damage, but he won't know that I'm there.
He'll just be bleeding out, and he won't even know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm enthusiastic about this choice. Honestly.
I hope he isn't.
I hope he isn't either. Yeah, okay. Striking him directly in the dick with the poison dagger. You score a seemingly nice cut.
Score?
Yeah. Score?
Nice cut.
This is the funk break.
Does he music? I'm just picturing a music video right now of a dragon looking down at his numb dick. And there's like rose petals falling from the sky.
I've never seen a dragon have such a numb dick. Never seen it feel a thing after I stabbed it. So yeah. A pretty good slice?
Yeah, pretty good slice. You could tell the poison poured in, you know, to the phallus. So that's you got paralyzing poison. You got that red poison, I think it was. The dagger?
Guys, I'm doing great work here.
Not bad. Not bad at all. But you also deal... That's a... Jesus Christ. 10 damage. It's nice. Like almost all the damage amounts have been 10 and 11. And it's weird.
Is that low or high?
It's pretty solid, but it's just weird. It's like, I don't know, maybe rolling sevens, you know?
Okay.
Like two sixes.
We should go to Vegas.
Yeah, let's do it. Seriously.
Spencer, me and you.
Yeah.
Fucking MGM. Let's get this fucking on.
You know, I've never been to Vegas.
We should go together.
Yeah. I've never been either.
Let's all go.
I don't want to go with you guys.
All right, fine.
The city may never sleep, but I go to bed at like 2:30.
Spencer and Jeff in Vegas is a movie I will wait to rent.
Vegas Jam. let's go to Vegas when Pearl Jam is playing next. And bring Michael Jordan.
Oh, the buffet is open from 3 p.m. and out in the lobby.
Have you seen that movie where it's the guy who goes off into the woods on his own and basically dies? It's like
Into the Woods.
What's it called?
Grizzly Man?
Not Grizzly Man.
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild.
Nature Boy.
That movie's hilarious because it's this guy living on his own. Alone, and it's literally Eddie Vedder narrating what he's doing. So it's literally Eddie Vedder like, "Today he made a shower." It's fucking awful. Anyway,
do you know that's a true story?
Yeah, I know. Well, that guy's an idiot. He genuinely is. Anyway,
hey guys,
he was.
We can jibber jabber all we want, but we have a dragon in the room.
Yes, go ahead.
Sidebar: how many monsters can I summon at one time? I have two scorpions on the scorp deck.
Yeah, you know, I think you can summon however many, But yeah, I mean, yeah, you can only like do one order though. So you have the standing orders to attack, but like if you had like four monsters, you couldn't be all like, you attack. You
no, I don't want them to do different shit.
I'm just saying, that's okay.
If
but
I
that's
could
what
keep summoning more scorpions every turn and having all those scorpions understand.
Well, eventually you're going to run out of spells. I think you got like two more level two summons.
Is it possible for you to cast Ray of Frost and for one of us to shatter him like with a sword attack and like take off a leg? Like,
if it froze him, yeah. But I mean, what did it's we not learn in very Brooklyn? Much damage.
Yeah.
Can you call the next ones Dennis and Haysbert?
I'm gonna let Keith and David do their thing. I'm gonna spend this turn trying to do something a little more. No. I don't mean I'm passing. I know.
Well, I'm okay. Rolling. Well, Keith, I heard you and David. Roll. They're attacking. You know, they're like you would had ordered.
I want to know about Tasha's hideous laugh again.
Yeah, so that's a spell. That's a charm spell that if they fail their will save, you know, they lose their action because they're doubled over.
Might it work on a large reptile?
I mean, dragons in general are pretty hard to charm, but yeah, it would if you rolled if you rolled poorly. Yeah.
What's he doing?
He's doing I think he's doing Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah. Homie, don't play that! Pot of gold! You guys hang out with this guy, like, all the time?
You say as you're staring at a dragon's dick.
What a weirdo. Anyway, I'm going to continue stabbing this dick.
He does pass his will save, so he's unaffected.
All right. Well, Keith, David,
well, did that
take care
do anything, the singing?
No.
Oh.
But it was worth a shot.
It
Let
was.
My scorpions do their thing.
The scorpions attack. David doesn't manage to strike the hive. However.
Sucks. Why is this happening?
However, Keith deals a wicked blow to the back left leg of the dragon, dealing 8 damage.
That's not bad.
You basically right. chipped its nail.
So right now the dragon has a numb dick, right?
Yeah, that's true.
How big is the dick?
How big is the dick?
How big is the dragon's dick?
How big is your dick?
Is your dick? Is
how
your
big
dick?
Is
I really
your
need to know.
Dick?
I'm really crunching the numbers.
I'm living in a world.
I'm taking this as seriously as you are right now.
Breaking me down. Huh?
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Yeah.
Is it numb? I'm small. Can I crawl up inside his dick hole?
What? Jeff,
that's
what?
I can kill him from the inside.
What?
I'll take my sword. I'll climb up his dick. It's numb. He won't know. Can I squeeze in through the dick hole and get inside his abdomen and just smash it and fucking... Yeah.
And I'm like, I should have thought of that. This is how I fight.
Is it too small for me to climb inside?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, maybe the size of an elephant. Like, you can't climb up an elephant's dick.
Yeah.
What like, you, maybe it's asshole. Think?
What if I go up to his dick and I hold it open and I have Mulrain come behind me and I have her shoot arrows into his dick hole.
What?
I'm trying to kill a dragon,
That'd
guys.
Be exceedingly dangerous, but I mean,
right.
I mean maybe.
Maybe?
Well, I mean, technically, it's possible to hold open something.
I use it because I have fast movement. I say, psst, Mulrain. I'm going to run up using my fast, sneaky dwarf.
Let me run this by you, Mulrain.
Yeah. I mean, my gnome.
This is a tough sell.
Yeah. You don't have to do it. I'm taking all the risk here. I want you just to get two of your favorite arrows handy. And I'm going to run up real quick, grab his numb dick, open it up, and I'm going to aim it towards you. And I want you to shoot as many arrows as you can into his dick hole.
Am I still hanging out by the dick? Be careful, don't hit me.
No.
Hit the dick.
I'll agree to this if only we can talk about what this means after.
I'm trying to kill a dragon.
We can discuss it.
This strategy makes sense to me.
All we've done so far is numb this guy's dick. I'm taking advantage of a breach in the armor right now.
All we've done, all I've done. You've been trying to climb a statue.
I'm trying to stand on the shoulders of your hard work.
Dude, we're all on the same team.
All I'm saying is that Quark and Chris, this we should examine this a little bit more afterwards.
In an impetuous gnome barbarian state of mind, I run up to say, just you do what you want to do. I'm going to go open that dick hole. And I run up and I grab the dragon's numb dick and I open it up and I aim it at her like a fire hose.
And I'm still...
I go, shoot your arrow!
Why would
arrows? Why would arrows open it up?
No.
He opens
I'm
it up.
I'm using my hands to open it up. I'm giving her a target.
The gesture you're making is very flattering to the dragon.
I don't know how big a dragon's dick is.
I bet it's not as big as. I mean, that's like a post office box. I don't. What a weird. My dick looks weird.
I'm opening it up to mailbox size. The size of a mailbox. Right?
Can you hit a mailbox?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, dude? I'm right next to the dick still. Hey, what are you doing?
Chris, step a little over to the side.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a bad place to be.
Oh,
right
are you
now.
Opening the dick hole to shoot arrows in?
Yes.
Oh, you're going for the number three?
Yeah. So I'm standing there holding a dragon's dick open.
Okay.
I bet you've never said that sentence before.
So before that quite happens, the dragon attacks.
You told me his dick was numb, DeBerg.
Yeah, he didn't attack you with his dick. Yes.
I didn't want to get into a big conversation. I wanted to use my fast movement, open his dick, get an arrow in there, and run the fuck
guys,
over.
Guys, I think we're all safe here, convened around his dick, because God knows if a dragon could attack us here, he wouldn't leave the house.
Hey-o! Dungeon snap.
Wait, so who does he attack?
Probably me.
Well, he attacks Keith. You know, and he... Okay,
oh, good.
So oh,
let
yeah,
me,
that's
let
fine.
Let me just narrate this.
We're okay with that.
Rearing back and striking with his front claw, he pins down the scorpion before biting its head with his fearsome beak, ripping it from its shoulders. Do scorpions have shoulders?
Yes.
Ripping it from its shoulders.
They got like eight.
Yeah, they got a bunch of shoulders.
At the same time.
Its survival instinct is terrible, by the way. He's maybe. Not going for the guy opening his dick.
Well, that hasn't... Chronologically, that hasn't happened. Yet.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
Yeah. It's yet to happen.
With right. both of his wings, he flails them wildly, and his left wing catches Chris DeBerg right in the chin, knocking you off your feet onto your back and dealing four
damage. Oh, my mouth is my fortune. Keith!
But now... This is the perfect time. Chris DeBerg is now cleared out of the way. Yeah, he's distracted with scorpion shoulders. So now I've run up, opened up his dick hole, and cry out to Mulrain.
Well, that was me, guys.
I cry out to Mulrain to shoot some arrows into this dragon's dick, for Pete's sake.
Okay, so approaching the dragon, he points his beak at you and then does something like a peck attack. How about... You know. Rearing back like a cobra, he lunges forward, striking you directly in the chest with his beak. It pings harmlessly off your armor. Ooh. And you manage to position yourself right under his, dickle regions.
I think the dickle regions are just called dick.
Positioning yourself strategically around the dick, you force your hands into the opening, whiting the urethra. You call out to your compatriot, Mulrain, who is somewhat conflicted by this whole thing, it seems.
It's fine. It's
okay,
fine.
Well, that was just what I'm reading off your face.
Can I ask, how much did I get hurt?
You got hurt for, I said five damage, right? Five
oh,
or
I
four?
Don't know.
Four damage.
Four damage.
I mean, I'm guessing, never mind. I was going to say the dumbest thing in the world. I can't help but picture a giant penis. I was about to say I've had more experience with penises than you guys have. That's retarded. You all have penises.
I experience one every day.
Right.
How much experience do you have with my retarded sister?
All right, cliffhanger. We'll come back and see how we break that out.
Cha-ching.
Am I going to stand here holding a dragon's dick open for the rest of the day?
Can I shoot?
Somebody shoot an arrow for pity's sake.
I shoot two V arrows into the dragon's urethra.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Retardedly.
Now we're playing D&D.
I don't get the connection. What are you talking about?
Did somebody use that word?
Yeah.
Retarded. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. We're supposed to be phasing that out.
Yeah. No, right. I don't like that term.
I'm sorry I said retarded. Dan has...
Don't you keep saying it.
Well, I meant retarded in an inefficient way.
You meant like gay.
I meant that the devil chose you because your parents committed a sin.
Genuinely, nothing is gayer than shooting an arrow into a dude's penis.
I'm very sorry I said retarded.
In my mind, I pictured this whole thing to go down a lot faster. I didn't know that I would spend 7 minutes holding a dragon's penis hole open. Now I'm getting it's getting a little gay over here.
Yeah. I shot two V arrows.
Yeah, both of them missed.
Oh.
Oh, you
retard. God, aren't I a huge retard?
So I look up at the dragon and give him like a sorry. And I run back to my friends and go like, you guys are fucking a little less jibber-jabber next time.
I take some gold coins and I put them in an envelope and I mail them to the Special Olympics. I don't know how to get out of it. No, you know, this retarded sister all the
a
time.
A good way
stop
is
going
to,
back into it.
Yeah, a good That's way is it. To not talk about it anymore.
You're forgiven. Just let's keep going. It's fine.
I cast a spell to protect myself from the awkwardness in this battle chamber.
I absolve everyone.
I have a bubble. All right, so it's my turn?
Yeah, yeah. You've been knocked onto your feet, so, you know, you have to get up before...
I get up, I walk over, I hold its dick hole open, and I yell at Mulray, try again!
There we go.
You can do it!
Approaching
No,
the
no,
dragon.
No, I
oh,
don't.
Okay.
I don't think she's on board.
All right.
So I have a I can short bow sap. What does sap do?
A sap's like a blackjack. It's like you know, like a donkey sock.
Like a what?
A donkey sock.
What's what are these words?
Like okay, so have you ever like filled like a bag with coins?
Oh, it's like that.
So it's really full of like a and then like
is it spiky?
No, like it's just really heavy, but no, you like, can like hit. It's like it's you can thing sock like, a donkey
it's like
with
you
it.
You knock something out with the back of the head with. It's yeah, like a blackjack. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You keep saying, "Oh, blackjack." No, I don't know what. I don't know in this context what it means. So I have a blackjack that saps energy.
No, it's just also
it's
called
like, it's
a
like
sap.
A billy club. It's like a weird imagine name a piece for it. Of leather.
Oh,
of...
guys, shut up! I used the blackjack on the dick. Very, yeah.
Oh, what have we going on here?
You looks strike like him directly penis. In the dick. However, he doesn't seem to take notice, as it is numb.
Yes.
But it hurts him, right?
I mean, the sap does non-lethal damage, so he can't feel it.
If he
so.
Did it enough, eventually he'd go unconscious and not know why.
Yeah,
do it enough.
But you do 7 damage.
So overall, the dragon is hurt.
He's been hurt, yeah. Although he wouldn't know it.
But 7, okay, the knowing is not important to me. I'm not doing this because I want the dragon to know I'm attacking its dick over and over. That is the last thing I want the dragon to know. That is why I numbed its dick. That was step one. I don't want to announce to this dragon, hey, I have a bunch of things in my bag. Yeah. I'm going to pull them out one by one. And I'm going to strike your dick with them.
You numbed its dick so you could hit it with a bag filled with coins?
Hey, that wasn't the first thing I did. I'm just looking in my bag. I don't know what else I have.
You know what? Some dragons pay a lot of money for this kind of stuff.
Am I causing the dragon any pleasure?
Is that what kind of dungeon this is? This is like a weird sex dungeon. Dungeons and Dragons are just a bunch of... This is just a weird domination dungeon for dragons to go to.
Well, it does say I'm a rogue, so... Yeah.
Have you ever Googled Dungeon Master?
It's perverse.
Ready for my move?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, I have like a wire saw and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you could cut a limb off a branch. Oh, you could probably saw his dick off. That'd take a while, but yeah. I think someone said that from the back, which is what I was responding
to. Hey, guys, I think I got my next turn planned out.
Here's what I'm doing. Because I know what I'm doing, and I've seen a lot of movies where you're fighting an oversized beast. I'm casting the spell Jump. And I am leaping onto the dragon's back.
Like why? That's not where its dick is.
It's where my hero medal is.
Oh, that's where the brain is.
Yeah, there's lethal parts of the body. That
It's time to get cinematic.
All right.
Jump.
Casting jump on yourself, you feel arcane energy swirling around your legs. You get the sensation that you can jump powerfully for a time.
I do so.
Onto the back of the dragon?
Yes.
Heroically leaping up into the air, you land cinematically on the back of the dragon successfully. For a bit, you feel unsteady, but then you catch yourself and you have sturdy footing.
That guy's awesome. That's way better than the laughing attack you did.
Letterboxing appears.
Can I do more? Is that my whole turn?
Yeah, that is your whole turn.
I take my great sword and I throw it up to him so he can plunge the sword.
No, should tell him when you're doing it.
I say, hey, look alive! And I throw it handle first up to Sharpie so he could plunge my sword into the back of the spinal column like a coup de grace in a bullfight.
But not before the sluggishly poisoned dragon unleashes an acid line onto your party. It flows directly into Quark's path as well as Moraine's path, and you'll have to twist yourselves out of the way to dodge.
I have a good dodging ability, don't I?
That's true. I can jump,
I can dodge, I'm very nimble.
You can dodge. So, yeah, but you didn't in this case. Well,
Sometimes it's just not your day.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not your day.
I was two arrows up a dick hole away from finishing this thing.
Two arrows at a dick, two girls, one.
Sometimes you numb and open up a dragon dick. Sometimes a dragon dick opens up you.
Oh, yeah, we all grew up with that saying.
So Moraine takes 16 damage from the line of acid as corrosive juices burn through her armor and onto
her skin. I know why.
Because it's acid.
Well, because I said retarded earlier.
No, because...
See what happens, America?
Is my awkwardness shield still up?
Yeah.
That's a true standards and practices thing. They go like, oh, can she get drunk even though she's underage? And they're like, as long as she has a bad time.
Oh, really? Yeah, like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, just let there be negative consequences to their foolish actions.
That's like a lot of horror movie stuff. It's all very, like, morality.
Yeah, can these two do it? Can we see your boobs? Yeah, if you murder them afterwards.
Yeah, then you murder them.
How many hit points do I take, intro? Spencer?
You also take 16.
Shit, I'm getting screwed over
By
here.
By my count, you're at 26, I think. Maybe you got... No, you should have taken another 8 damage, right?
It should be 18.
Yeah.
I take a healing potion.
Okay, well, you were gonna... Okay, so you could take a healing potion and throw the sword, but that's all you could do. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so... swilling a healing potion in a single gulp and hurling your sword directly at a Sharpie Butts-a-Lot. Shit. Critical. So, yeah, you catch it and, like, you throw it in, like, a super dramatic manner, and it's all slow motion style, and it cuts to people, like, looking at it, you know?
Right.
And it totally lands perfectly... in your hand.
In my hand?
Oh!
And there's almost like energy kind of like, you know, surrounding this whole epic situation as it lands directly into your hand perfectly. And also you gain 14 hit points.
What, sorry?
So he gains back 14 hit points.
Oh, sweet.
What?
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. But also you have the thing now.
Yeah, so you got my sword now. Use it, Jackson.
Well, is it my turn?
It's yours, right? Mulrain?
Yes. Let's see. Well... first of all, I'm sorry about saying retarded.
I was just joking.
The arrows just
missed.
Well,
I know, but I don't know.
It's just a joke gone bad. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a message board, and there's going to be a Photoshop of my face covered in blood. I don't know. I'm not asking for that, by the way.
Too late.
Okay, I take... Sorry?
It's too late. Ether right now.
It's already happening.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's already... If you go to YouTube, it'll be there.
I'm sure
right
this is
now.
Very annoying, but it's clear that I'm sorry.
Look,
didn't mean it.
No, okay, you've paid your penance.
It was a joke.
I know.
Language is garbage. Sounds that come out of people's mouths. No one hates the idea that you can't say retarded more than me. I was doing a bit. I did that to you. I'm sorry. I got my shitty retarded joke all over you. I'm sorry. Like, that was my bit that didn't land and made your plane crash.
I imagine you doing that apology with a sword in your hand.
So I take two V arrows.
Sure.
And I shoot them at the dragon. What?
What?
Don't.
What? Nothing.
All right. Sorry. I thought you were whispering at me, Adam. Okay. No. I take two V arrows and I shoot them at the dragon's head.
At his head.
He's right there.
Right, but I can't hand him my arrows.
No, oh, but no, oh, I want to make sure you don't hit him.
Well, I just,
no,
she won't hit me.
I guess I'm too reliant on my skill. I shoot them at the dragon's belly.
At the dragon's belly, huh?
Or his heart. Spencer.
At his heart, huh?
You said earlier that the dragon's organs are different from regular organs.
Yeah, they have like, you know, they got like, you know,
numb dicks.
This one has acid bladders, you know, to hold acid so he could spit it out, you know.
What?
You don't have that. They're different. It's different. Anyway, arrows hit. Both of them hit. You deal 13 damage altogether, striking him directly in the neck with both arrow shots.
Nice, the neck.
He's a bit woozy right now, actually.
Yeah, he's got to be.
He's on the ropes.
We've been kicking this guy's
Dragons
ass.
Dragons are tough, you guys.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Mythical.
No kid.
Yeah.
All right, Krista Bird.
It also says I have a bear trap like in cartoons.
Yeah. Like, see, because your character is also like a trapsman.
Yeah.
He has traps and stuff.
Fucking throw that thing on the dick.
It seems so obvious now.
You guys, watch this.
Yeah.
He's not going to feel it.
And I have a great zinger.
Oh, you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
More like dick trap. I can only write songs.
Right. Song.
But it doesn't...
Your bear drop trap goes off as expected. Huh?
Grin and bear it. That's it. That's a good one. Oh, God. That's grisly.
Of me, too.
Yeah, it's quite grisly of me to... that doesn't feel like honey.
You're really dragging it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo.
I got a boo-boo on my name.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, so the bear trap works as intended. It finishes the job that your poison, you know, dagger started.
Okay, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Does this mean, is this like, am I helping it by severing the organ that is poisoned?
Yes.
Well, at this point, the poison would have already worked its way into his system. But I mean, you there's not more dick poison going to go into him. Definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, you could have thrown out his mouth and maybe, like, lost his mouth shut.
Guys, yeah. I have good news and bad news. Does anybody want, like, a dragon dick? I put it in my sack just in case.
Yeah, you know, they're magical. Magical dicks.
If you're in the market for a dragon dick.
You know, there's an old legend that severed dragon penises are really good at helping you write songs.
Yeah.
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 But you have to put it in your mouth.
This won't be the first one I've put in my mouth. Yeah, that's amazing. That is a legend, right?
It's a legend.
All right,
sure. So
Sharpie, it's your turn, please, guy.
Yeah.
You're up. Okay. You got my sword.
I got his sword.
You're still carrying the dramatic motion of the toss that comes to you.
Yeah. And everything goes quiet, and I go, "Father!" And then thrust down with the
sword. Did he just say
sword.
Father?
Yeah, I just said father.
Fuck. I don't think he's slaying that dragon.
Planting the blade directly between the... Do dragons have shoulders? Everything has shoulders. Between the shoulder blades of the dragon's back, the blade slices cleanly through the spinal cord, and the dragon goes limp.
Wow, this really puts my dick strategy into question.
My mother touched me in the bathtub!
What?
What? You had a breakthrough.
I'm sorry.
Oh. I must have dreamt something.
Yeah.
Is the dragon alive?
No, it's dead.
I go up and... But it's dead. We killed the dragon?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey!
Yeah!
I take one of my burnt sticks and draw dicks and balls all over the dragon's face.
Good. Natural.
I draw swastikas on its balls and dicks on its face and
oh boy.
Swastikas.
You're ruining the market value of that dragon hide.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
I don't give a fuck for Dragonhide. Are Dragonhide's marketable?
Well, yeah. Everything Dragon is marketable.
Oh. Including what I got.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Kumail, everybody. Yay. Aaron McGaffey. Spencer Crittenden. That's not even a cliffhanger. We just slayed a dragon. That's how you do it. Well done, sir. Krista Berg, I doubted your tactics, but, you know, all's well that ends well. Send your letters to Aaron McGaffey at aaronmcgaffey@IHateRetardedPeople.com.
Which is a weird email address for her to pick.
I know. It seems like she was asking for it.
But it's also a weird place to send emails. Like,
yeah, so it's a website. But there's a contact page on
it. Like, why did you come here if you didn't expect to get out offended? That's another problem of the internet culture, people seeking out offense.
All right, Dan, we've gone long. Let's bring this fucker into the station. What do you
Let's
think?
Let's do it on a dime. On a dime.
Yeah?
10 cents.
10 cents?
Straight up.
What do you want, Herman?
Give me something sexy.
You want something sexy?
Yep.
All right. You got something for us?
No. When did I ever have something? I sat on it for 2 hours. Now I have something.
I don't know. Do you want to connect with the crowd first? Do you want to just say goodnight? You want to bid these people a fond farewell?
Well, how do you connect with them by talking to them? They're all sleepy. Like, if I go, "What's your name, sir?" and he'll go, "Leonard," and I'll go, "What's your problem?" and he'll go, "I'm sleepy. I live in Rancho de Salad."
Did anybody here particularly feel like they learned something or take something away from tonight? Does anybody feel like they've grown as a person?
Anybody got a big problem that you came in here with that you really need solved? See, that takes a lot of guts and fortitude for them to, like, they're stonewalling us. They're like, "No, the show's over. Get out of here." That's good. We had a perfect little show. We just need to
doesn't have to be long. Just make it short and sweet, man.
Yeah.
Just put a little cherry on top of this beautiful sundae we've created for these people.
Okay. All right. I killed a dragon with you. We fought a monster or two. We're gonna do it in Harmontown. We watched horror movies. Everything. Stupid. I don't like this. You know the problem with that song, the whole tour? It's like, I don't like the structure of the... because it's... You wait for the beat, and then the thing, and then it picks up. I don't know how to articulate the corner that
don't
song.
Articulate it, Dan. Sing it.
I'm trying to tell you that I can't to that song.
Don't tell me you can't. Sing, but you can't.
To that song.
Right, okay, all right.
Fight through it, man.
It's weird to sing to a song that doesn't have a beginning or end. Now it's going quiet for a second. It's just my job to have to reckon with it. And in Harmontown, and it doesn't, you don't, there's no, it doesn't, there's nothing to do with the song. Everything
and yet,
comes
and yet you're,
out wrong.
You're still creating a song. Yeah.
It's a song.
Sometimes the limitations of the genre liberate the creative mind.
Yo, I fucked your mama at 5.
Yeah, use
it
the limitations.
It made me feel alive. Her pussy gave me the jive to carry on. In Harmontown, I fucked your mama a lot. I made her cry snot. She looked sick to the neighborhood. They brought her in and said, "Soupy's good."
Fart corner.
Yeah. Breakdown. Mama's in the kitchen. Fucked your mama, said stop that bitching. Put my dick in her eye and her mouth. North, west, south.
South.
South. Fucked your mama on the floor. Fucked your mama like Eva Gabor. Fucked your mama in the attic in the basement. Fucked your mama said, "This is a case that's closed." Fucked your mama like sisters and bros. Fucked your mama up and down the street. Fucked your mama with my hand and my feet. Fucked your mama on a big snow plow.
Fucked your mama and I don't know how. It boggles me. I tried to figure it out. Fucked your mama, but I don't have the clout. Went to City Hall, asked the mayor, can I fuck your mom? He said, she's over there. Went over to her, fucked her again. Fucked your mama, 8, 9, 10. Fucked your mama, up in the air. Fucked your mama, I don't care. Fucked your mama, cut my hair. Fucked your mama, Dragon's Lair. Fucked your mama.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. We did it again. One more time for Spencer Crittenden, please. Aaron McGathy, Kumail Nanjiani, everybody here at Meltdown Comics, Brian W. Collins, and Horror Movie A Day. Thank you, Shannon, for coming up earlier. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for Dan Harmon, your mayor.